With the mind, and it's our attitudes.
Yeah.
It's how we think. It's our attitude towards a situation, towards a person, or whatever it is. And I can see sometimes those attitudes, those wrong attitudes coming out of me, and I can see it's defeating me. But as I give that over to God and acknowledge that my attitude towards that person or the boss at work is absolutely wrong, God then starts to take over and he begins to work. And in time you find your thinking is completely different. You're no longer a thinking negatively towards that person, but you want the best for them. And you find yourself praying for them. And that is what's so wonderful about the Christian walk, how that we all of us have testimonies of how God has put love in our heart for the unlovable.
That's right.
For those that you wouldn't even look at in the street. And yet God has put that love within our hearts. And that love very often is simply a right attitude, heart and motive. That's all it takes. And then you find you'll be able to pray for them. And then you start to see great things that God does in changing those lives and so forth. It's such an encouragement. But boy, the enemy doesn't like it, does he? Because the problem is he's losing control over our minds. Because we have the mind of Christ. It's what the scriptures tell us. And this is why it's so wonderful coming together, sitting under the anointing, as God is delivering us and working us. Oh yes, I see now. And he brings these things to the light, to the surface. And then you're able to bring it out before God and talk to God about it. God knows there are some people we can't love in the natural. He knows that. But as we give that over to him, and we say, Lord, I can't love this person, but I am dependent upon you to change and work within me so that I can have that right heart and that right attitude towards that person. It's being honest. That's always what God wants from us. He doesn't want us all our religious work and all these sacrifices. He wants honesty from us. Because he knows that we can't do it. He knows we can't believe unless he touches us. We can't believe. We can't have faith unless God touches our life in which to do so. And indeed he does want to. God wants us to believe. He wants us to wholeheartedly believe in his word and not doubt it. But we're all of us on a journey in that. And we don't get there straight away. I wish we did, but we don't, because we know Rome was not built in a day. We're highly complex individuals, fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. That's why psychiatry and psychology can't fully understand the human being. They think they do, but they don't. We're too complex, and the reason we're too complex, because we're made in the image of God. And when you're dealing with God, there is no beginning and there is no end. He's everlasting, he's eternal spirit, always has been and always will be. There never was a time when God was not. Time is made for us. It is a gift. But not in God's realm. Not in God's realm. So it's this yielding over to God, and as we know it, it's this absence of resistance. It's as God hones in to us, in a certain area, it's not resisting, putting up the barriers. It's just yielding over. Now, some of you, and I've gone through this, it's like we say, yes, Pastor, I hear that. It's one thing saying it, it's another thing doing it. This absence of resistance. It's like somebody who throws a ball at you, immediately we put up the defences. We're going to obviously protect ourselves. That's instinctively what we do. And that's built in us. That's not wrong. I'm not telling you one bit now that you stand there and let people throw balls at you or rocks at you. Because that's not the norm. But what I am saying is, in the spirit where this yielding is, the moment God hones in on areas of our life, we do that spiritually. Mm-hmm. We immediately do it. I don't know why. It's what the fall has done. It's what sin's done with us. Mm-hmm. And so God, in his love and mercy, starts to work with us till we drop these barriers. Mm-hmm. They just instinctively happen. Yeah. And I've thought this through for many years. Yes, I see it, and because it's simple, that's why I miss it. However, what is it that stops me when God is working in an area, I fight that yielding over? And it's like we put these barriers up, because it's like these rocks and boulders are coming and we're protecting ourselves. The thing is that that's not how God works. And he doesn't do anything when he gets us to yield over to him. In any way does he ever damage us. On the contrary, by his stripes we were healed. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up the wounds. That's his whole nature, his heart. But we still have got to trust him in that area as I yield over. Because when we yield, we are at that point making ourselves very vulnerable in the natural. However, God doesn't view it like that. That is what sin has done. That's how we think. And so as he's delivering us, he's going to God. I felt spoke to me this week, and I don't get this very often, but I sometimes almost get an audible voice when God speaks. And when he does, there is a right time in which to speak that. And I feel it's right to say it now. But as I was preparing, thinking on this, praying over all of this, the word and preparing myself, I felt the Lord say to me, trust me in yielding. I haven't got it wrong. You are still battling in the area of yielding. Hand it over to me and tell me where you are battling with regards to yielding, where it is you're still not trusting me. All those things that stop us simply yielding over, talk it out, and I will show you what yielding really is. We haven't yet fully understood what this yielding over is. It's what this word we call the kenosis. It's the self-emptying. That's what yielding over does. It causes us to empty in order to then be filled anew with the presence of God in those areas, you see. When a computer is reprogrammed, whatever's wrong in the computer has to be removed, and the right programming has to be replaced. I'm no computer expert, but I believe I've got that right. So it is exactly the same with us, and he replaces it by the power of his word, what we read. And that's why faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God. So that he influences us in our believing, so that our believing harmonizes with God's will. And I'll tell you, when we do that, that is powerful stuff. that brings healing, deliverance, salvation to us, because we are agreeing with the word of God. But to bring us to those places, he's ever working with us, because he knows he cannot get us to agree mentally. We have to agree with the whole being. We have to agree with the heart. It is out of the heart are the issues of life. It is out of the heart those wells of living water come. It's out of the heart that we respond. In other words, very simple, I'm here today because I want to be. I'm here today because I enjoy coming with my brothers and sisters in the presence of God. He has placed that affection within my heart to do this. Because otherwise, if my heart is not in this, I will look for any excuse why I'm not going to be here today. And believe me, I can find many. We can find many. Man is a master at finding excuses, I tell you. So we're here today because God has put it in our hearts. He has to touch us first. It isn't in us otherwise. Remember, God first loved us. I didn't love God. I was out in that world enjoying it, doing my own thing, blind to the fact that I'm going to a crisis eternity, and God said, enough. Hallelujah. You go no further. Amen. I'm now taking over. What a miracle in our lives. Mm-hmm. What words cannot, you cannot find the words for that. You cannot buy that. You cannot put any value to that. When God says, I love you enough and I'm going to stop you right in your tracks, and I'm going to turn you around because I'm going to save you.
Amen.
He saves us from ourselves. That's what he does. That is the good news of the gospel. Never forget it. Never forget it. So what does he say in verse 30? So if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? These are the simple statements of Jesus. And they're so simple, that's why we get puzzled by them. And we can hear this and say, well, what's the pastor on about? I mean, you know, this is pretty elementary. This is quite simple, you know. I mean, we understand grass is here one day and it's gone the next. And God's saying, well, you're of greater value than that grass or the trees on the the leaves on the tree or whatever it would be. You know, what's so difficult about that? What is difficult about that is dropping it from that 18 inches from your head to your heart. That is where it's difficult in the natural. And that's what causes the confusion. We get puzzled by it all. Because our minds then start to go back, well, hang on a minute though. I was believing the Lord to pay those bills at the end of the month. And I didn't have the money. The money wasn't there. So it didn't actually work for me. I mean, they did eventually get paid, but it didn't work how I thought it was going to work. There's the puzzle. There's the problem. Because it's so simple, that's why I miss it. I miss it by my own experiences, by my own ignorance, by my own control, by my own unbelief, and so forth. God doesn't get it wrong. And we have to come back right to the simplicity and say, Lord, you haven't got your word wrong. It didn't turn out right. Please show me. I need to learn. Because this is simple. I'm not at the moment grasping this. This is the problem. And God will do this. If you approach God like that, he moves heaven and earth to get you to that simple childlike faith, trusting God. And if there's anything that I have seen God doing in this body over the last 3-4 years, he's doing this with all of us. He's bringing our faith to that very simple, childlike faith that we're to have, that trust. I give thee a wonderful analogy. You've seen children do it. When they run, or they run off a table, and they know that you're going to catch them, they don't doubt for one moment that you will drop them. They don't. They're so innocent, they run off that table, and they love it, and they squeal, and there you are, you catch them. And they knew you were going to do that. You know it, because you hear all the squeals and excitements that come out. That's us, with Almighty God. And when we get blessed, what comes out of us? All the squeals and excitements, and the praising God and everything. It's exactly the same. Because we're his children. He loves us. He loves us so much. He gave Jesus as his offering, the greatest offering that could ever be given to humanity.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's why we get puzzled over all of this. So how do we simplify our lives, our minds, our thinking? Well, it requires the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to be empowered by the Spirit of God. But then that power begins to work. He takes over our lives, takes over everything, and starts to unravel our lives. Because our lives are complicated. Mm-hmm. We are complicated beings in the natural. You know, life is complicated. Everything is so bureaucratic today. And yet he has a way of unraveling that complexity again, or very often in our minds, our attitudes, our thinkings. He's unraveling all of this and bringing us in front of him, in a sense, that simple childlike faith that children have towards their parents. And I'll tell you something, when you begin to experience this, you want more and more and more of it, because it's our deliverance. Mm. It's what it should be. It's like those birds instinctively know what to do. We instinctively know what to do as well, through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just to walk each day with Jesus and meet that day and whatever comes in it by faith. Let tomorrow look after itself. Let next year, if the Lord tarries, let it look after itself. I just walk this day with the Lord.
Amen.
He has given me enough faith today to walk with him. Mm. Let tomorrow look after itself. All of that's scriptural.
Yeah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
It's all scriptural.
Mm.
But the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that cross that we take up daily and follow is absolutely vital for this.
Mm.
You see, we should be experiencing the much more of God. And our biggest problem to our fellowship with God is we know better than Jesus. We know better than God. I've got it all under control. I know exactly what I'm doing. And then we fall flat on our face. We don't. We don't. What we should be saying, Lord, what will you have me to do? What do I need to do in this situation? What do I need to do in the family? What do I need to do with my husband or my wife? What do I need to do with this boss at work that's so difficult? We encounter so many, 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 many things. Lord, what would you have me to do? You don't have to always get into your closet to say that. You can say it wherever you are. You can say it under your breath. You can say it right in front of that person while they saying whatever they're saying. Lord, what would you have me to do? We can. We have the advantage of being in communication 24/7 with God. In whatever situation, wherever we find ourselves, we can suddenly just talk with him. Not always just in our prayer closet, and that has its place, believe me. But we need to be attuned and talking with God all the time, because it's vital. Because we don't always know. And that is the much more, you see. Not that I know, But the much more is knowing what God is saying in every situation. What does it say in Matthew 13, verse 22? Matthew 13 and verse 22. But he who receives seed on the ground, on good ground, is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed hears, who bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So it's how we hear. I go back to the parable of the sower. It's those who receive seed on the good ground, where the hearts hear the word. And it says, in that hearing, they understand. Faith is understanding when it's given to us by the anointing. Yes. Faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God. Faith is understanding. What does it mean by understanding? It simply means what he's telling us. Have that childlike faith. Yes, I understand. How do I understand? Because my heart is open, it's good ground, and the seed has gone in, and it's going to produce fruit. Those that don't understand is when they say, well, that's his opinion. I've heard it all before. I've heard these people talk about faith and trusting God and everything, and I've seen terrible things happen as a result. That is the sign of a hard heart. And that word can't do anything, because their minds and hearts are so filled with unbelief and hardness of heart. You see the difference, you see? This is why we always say it comes back to the word of God. We were talking about this coming up in the car today. I've, as a pastor, these 40 years now and over, I've seen many things. I've seen people come and I've seen people go. For all sorts of reasons, which we won't go into. But those who stay, and those, yeah, they may go through difficult trials. They might even look for a season as though they're apostatizing, they're going back. But the difference is a love for the word of God. And those that stay, they will not criticize it. They will not judge it. They will not come against it, because they have a great regard and respect for this revelation. Might not understand it. There's a huge amount here we don't understand, but we know enough. This is God's revealed word to mankind, and I ain't going to criticize or come against it. That is our hope. That is an anchoring for us to be able to grow with God. Those who criticize this and judge it is because they want to understand it and know it and control it. And the word of God isn't like that. It's a revelation to us, as we heard in prophecy. And it's being revealed to us as we grow and mature. And there is something within us that appreciates that, that loves that, has a great respect and regard for it. They're the ones who stay with it. No, lives are not perfect. No, they've made some big blunders. Yes, they've sinned badly, but they've never changed the word of God to excuse their circumstances. That is our saving grace. Every time. And God was revealing that to us as we were talking about this in the car coming up today. And I said, Gene, those who are not with us now, they criticised, they came against the word of God. Not me, this revelation. And that's why they're not here. You see? And that is the difference. Comes back to the parable of the sower. One of the greatest parables Jesus ever gave to the people. And that's why when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God that now lives and dwells in us, we yield and obey, we yield over to him. We let his life live through us now. I can't live it. I can't love that person. But the life that lives in me, which is God himself, will reach out and love the unlovable as I yield over and let him do it. See, that's the key to Christian growth. The moment you try and love your enemy in your own strength, you'll fall flat on your face. And that's religious works. And it doesn't work. But as I acknowledge my weaknesses, I acknowledge sometimes I have to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm not in faith in this. I should be, but I'm not. And I'm ashamed. But I'm yielding over to you because I believe that gift of faith which is given to me in the first place, I will come to that place in believing. And whatever you will do, whatever it takes, you will bring me to that place of believing. This is why I want to thank the Lord. I'm going to give this testimony now, because most of you know I've gone through an awful chest and head cold. I know there's a lot of them about. But the point is, I've not had anything like this for years. And I give God all the praise and all the glory. When this started, I thought I'd take this day at a time. I said, Father, my heart's desire is to trust you. I don't want antibiotics. Okay, you know where I am. If I'm in unbelief or not in that place, then yes, that's what you do. That's what you do. Because we know you don't mess about with this. You either have it or you haven't. And it's not the end of the world. It just simply means God's ever working with me, bringing us all to those areas of faith. But I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to trust you in this. And my testimony is, he brought me through. There were some days I thought, I'm going to have antibiotics. But I said, Father, you have brought me this far over 40 years. You've preserved, you've kept me, you've brought me through every situation. You're going to bring me through this. I know you are. And faith knows when it's present. Faith knows when it's there. You don't have to question. You don't have to look for proof, whatever it is. It's like the Holy Spirit. He brings you through. It's like being in a car. You have the car, you have the engine, you have the wheels. You know you are being driven by a power, by a force. And it's exactly the same with God when we're in faith. That is how you know you're in faith. Something is driving you through all of this. And I'm secure. My eyes are looking to Jesus and he will bring me through. That is the only way I can express it to you, how he brought me through this situation. There have been other things I've gone through. I've not had that. And I've known it's not. I know I'm not yet in that place. Yes, it's humbling. It's very humbling. But God doesn't give up on us. We're too quick to give up on one another. But he doesn't. Yes. He loves us so much. He's going to work with us and work with us and work with us. This is why we hold to divine healing. Yeah. This is why we hold to the promises of God, simply because of this. They all call us crazy. But I know my God.
Amen.
And I know my God can work through each one of us in our journey, where he can bring us to that place where he will be our healer, our provider, our protector.
Amen.
He will, and this is what we're talking about, these promises.
Hallelujah.
So I don't have to give thought. Because that's the walk he's preparing us for. Because we don't know what we're going to face. Things out there are going from bad to worse.
Mm-hmm.
They're fed up with politicians now. Full of promises and don't deliver. You hear it? The confusion now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God we can come and we can look to the word of God and know he will deliver. Because he is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He is faithful. Mm. So we have to learn to bathe that life that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. That life that will let you know how he feels. Have you ever asked God how he feels? How he feels about a situation? How he has feelings. Your feelings are God-given. Sadly, sin has perverted, twisted them. But our feelings are still God-given. And they tell us that God has feelings and emotions. But he's not swayed the same as we are. He's ever faithful. He's true to himself because he's most holy. There's the difference. But God does have feelings. And there are occasions when I've said, Lord, I would like to know how you feel about this. I'm going to be still. I'm asking you to communicate what you feel, what you're saying in this. Have you ever done that? You do that. You'll be amazed how God will communicate to you. You really will. To think that God, who's created the heavens and the earth, no beginning, no end, who can come down to us and nobody, and he can express how he feels in that situation. That helps you how to pray, I tell you. Boy, it does. You see, he's making us one, isn't he, with him? He's making us one with the Father. And that's why prayer is important. Mm. Our consecration is important. Our love, our fellowshipping together, our labouring together in the vineyard. All of this is important because it's making us sensitive to our Heavenly Father. Mm. As I bring this to a close. That's what this is all about. I trust that today our fellowshipping, our opening up the Word of God has made us yet a little bit more sensitive to God. Mm. Putting Him first. Listening to Him. Let Him speak. Let Him equip us for the job. Because He has a job for all of us. Every one of us has a ministry. Amen. It's not just me. Okay, I'm a mouthpiece. That's a gift that God gives. But as we heard in prophecy, God is getting us to grow up. And basically, the teaching that I give is really doing me out of a job. But because you take it on, you go, you share. You minister to the sick. You lay hands on them and raise them up in the name of Jesus. Mm. It's so that the body goes out to function. That's what the church is about. Yeah. It's not about some minister standing there being adored, you know, a great orator and so on, which so often we see in Christendom. The only reason people are going to church is because the guy that's ministering there is so anointed. That's not what church is about. It's about Jesus. He's the one that you come for. And any true minister, you will always tell the test of a true minister, how does his ministry lead me to Jesus? Is his ministry making me dependent on him and the eldership of the church? Or is it making me look through him to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Uh-huh. Is it causing me to reach out to him and have a personal relationship and walk with him? Mm. That's what a true minister should be doing. Don't look to me. I'm just a mere man. I have passions, weaknesses, the same as all of you. Believe me, I do. Probably even worse. But the point is that ministry pointing me to Jesus?
Right.
That's the question. Because sadly, many ministries are not doing that. And that is why they don't grow. This is why they're running always to the pastor or to the elder. What's God saying? Should I marry that person or not? Or should I do this? Should I do that? Whatever it is. You have the Holy Spirit. You have God in your life. You have God speaking to you. Now, occasionally, you can come for advice.
For prayer.
And for prayer. And if I do say something and the Lord does say something to me, all that is simply going to do is confirming to you what God is already beginning to show to you.
Yes.
It's just a confirmation, because God's gone before. He's spoken to you first, and that's how it should always be.
Mm.
That's how it should always be. Mm. So praise God for getting the much more. Is that what we're doing? Or are we aware of the much more that God is blessing us with and will show us more? That much more means, in many ways, it reads in the Greek of an ongoing. It doesn't stop. It's just not on that verse. But it's a revelation. It's a showing of God to the needs, our everyday needs. How much more? I will show you more and more and more and more. It never ends. Never ends. The much more. And once you start to taste of the much more, oh, you want nothing but more of it.
Amen.
God has a way of making us very greedy spiritually.
Amen.
And I'm glad he does.
Amen.
Praise God. Father, we thank you this morning for our fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for speaking into our lives. Thank you for bringing us together, and our brothers and sisters in the room as well, and those even from overseas who are listening this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we've heard nothing but pure love ministered to us. Lord, we can't go wrong if we just yield to you.
Yes.
You have provided. You have gone before. You've shown us, Lord, that you will meet our every needs. We don't need to worry and get anxious. All of these things are actually freeing us up for one thing: to have a wonderful relationship with you. You're getting us free from these fears and these anxieties, where we want to be in control, instead just letting go. It's that yielding over to you. And you're working that, Father. You're placing that affection within our hearts to yield, because otherwise we won't do it. And so, Lord, I thank you today for our fellowship. I thank you for bringing us together. I pray you'll be with us, bless us, preserve and keep us. Be with us when we go out and when we come in. Be with us, Father, when we're in our cars or in a vehicle or going out. Give your angels charge over our journeys. But above all, Lord, let us be lights in this world of darkness. And that we could, that, Father, you will place within us, each of us, a boldness to proclaim and share the good news of Jesus Christ, that he lives today, he's alive always, and always will be. He is the Father's offering to the world. That you paid that price at Calvary. You paid for our guilt, our sin. And you've cast it as far away as the east is to the west. We stand right in your presence now. Lord, give us that boldness to proclaim this. Remove all the fear of man within us, Father, we ask in your mercy and grace. It doesn't matter whether we look stupid. Lord, we are the scum of the earth in the natural. That's how we appear to the world. We're laughable. They think we're oddities. But that is the wisdom and mind of God. So, Lord, help us to look away from ourselves. And let us be those living sacrifices, ever offering up daily, hourly, momently, our faith, our prayers, our intercessions, our will, our heart, our godly desires unto you, Father. Let us be those fragrances coming up before the throne of grace. Lord, we thank you for this. Thank you today. Thank you, Father, for bringing Sally along as well. I pray you'll bless, preserve, and keep her, Father. And all those who come into the room, Father, we pray now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Constancy, follow the master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent.